fellowship with you, and I was extra happy when I heard there was another speaker that I could hear preaching myself. I'd like to speak to you tonight on the subject, Harmony Restored by Christ. Psalm 85, and we'll begin just reading the 10th verse. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Let's pray. Our Father, we think of how you placed the treasure of the gospel in earthen vessels, that the excellency, the power might be of God. And as you've done that tonight, we pray that the treasure might shine forth. We ask that you'd use this gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We that are saved, we believe and we feed on the gospel. And we look to Christ anew every time we hear the gospel. We live by the faith of the Son of God. And Father, we think of those that are here tonight that don't know Christ. And we pray that you'd open their hearts. Forgive us of our sins, how unworthy we are. And Lord, we pray that you'd cleanse us and feed our hearts, and as already been prayed, that we might be benefited by the things that are done and said here tonight by the fellowship, and especially by the Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We speak of the book of Psalms. There's actually 5 books in the book of Psalms. And we speak of the book as the Psalms of David. David wrote most of the Psalms. But as you know, there were Psalms written by many other writers. As early as Moses, he wrote at least one of the Psalms. This 85th Psalm is a post-exile Psalm. That means it's written towards the end of the Old Testament, written after Israel came back from the Babylonian captivity. You can see that as you read it in verse 1. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto the land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of the people. Thou hast covered all their sin. But as you continue to read, you see the psalm reflecting exactly what happened. If you read, for instance, Haggai chapter 1, you find that when they came back to the land that they didn't rebuild the house of God. And they had to be rebuked. In Haggai chapter 1, he's rebuking them, consider your ways. And other prophets, Zechariah. And so you have the prayer of the backslider beginning in verse 4. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? No matter how the Lord blesses us, as the hymn says, prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it. They backslide. They end up in Babylon 70 years later. They're back. They're rejoicing soon. They're backsliding again. But one of the things that you see over and over in the Scripture of the Old Testament is this looking forward to this future day, the days of Messiah. And so this is mentioned here in verse 9, surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. And certainly that's looking forward to Christ. And then the text, mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. What these verses are describing is that when Messiah comes, harmony will be restored. That's what's referred to in verse 10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Sin has created a disharmony in this world. You know, I can't play the piano, but the pianist tonight, as she was playing, you heard harmony. And you heard a tune. And it made sense to you. Now, if she was playing some sort of opera, and maybe there was a thunderstorm, she might just pound that piano. Just, boom, that's discord. Well, there wasn't any discord in this world until sin entered into the world. And discord is created by sin on every level. discord between men and themselves. All of us wrestle with what we should do and what we would do, what we ought to do and what we'd like to do. And Romans 8:23, the Bible says, even of Christians, that we groan within ourselves, waiting for the redemption to wit, or waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of the body. Romans 7:21, Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. And there's discord within the heart of man, discord between man and himself. A medical doctor told me not too long ago that nearly a majority of the patients that came into his office came in because of depression and problems like that. And so there's discord in the heart of man. There's discord between man and man. You know, if you read Genesis 3, and I think Genesis 3 gives the most profound look at man as he is in sin that you can find in the Bible. In Genesis 1 and 2, man is created in the image of God. He's walking with God. In Genesis 3, he's hiding himself, covering himself. And when he's accosted and dragged out before God, he immediately begins to blame his wife. You know, when Adam saw Eve, she was the most beautiful thing that he'd ever seen. A few days later, he's saying, the woman that thou gavest me. And I think he's burning a hole through him the way she's looking at him. And then he said, the woman that thou gavest me. It's her fault. No, God, it's your fault. And there's discord between man and man. Most young people, when you marry them, it's like tying two cats by the tail and hanging them over a clothesline. Because they're selfish by nature. You read on in the Holy Scripture, you go just to the next chapter, Genesis 4, and Cain kills his brother. You say, he must have been watching a lot of TV. Must have been playing a lot of video games. No, let me tell you something. Sin came into this world full blown. It's not what's on the TV, it's what's in here. What's on the TV is what's coming out of here. And you have Cain killing his brother, and then you have Lamech, whose son was now able to make weapons, Tubal-Cain, and evidently Lamech took one, killed somebody with it. And the first piece of literature we have is Lamech's sword song in Genesis 4. And then in Genesis 6:11 we read, and the earth was filled with violence. And on every level today, you know, you can't walk down the street, drive down the highway. In a classroom there's bitterness. Even in churches people have a hard time getting along. There's discord between man and nature. In Hebrews 2:8 it says, but we see not yet all things under him. You know, when God created Adam, he told Adam, he said, take dominion of the fishes of the sea and the birds of the air and the animals on earth. But what does it say? But we see not yet all things under him. And you know, what is farming? It's fighting with nature. Gardening is fighting with nature. And we see disharmony in nature. I kind of enjoy watching crocodiles eat wildebeest. But that's not the way God created this world. The ugly things that you see. On a more profound level, all these things exist because there's disharmony between man and God. The Bible says the carnal mind is enmity against God. Men do not like God by nature. The carnal mind is enmity against God. What did they say about the Lord Jesus? We will not have this man to rule over us. The feeling, however, in a sense is reciprocal. God is angry with the wicked every day. The wicked shall be turned into hell in all nations that forget God. But let me say something that may shock you, something that may sound surprising. There's even a deeper level in which sin has caused discord. A level of discord that really is more basic than all these others. And that is that sin has created discord in the mind of God itself. And that's what the psalmist is talking about when he said mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Sin has caused certain attributes of God to be in tension. Let's look at these. Why are we told mercy and truth are met together? Mercy is God's compassion towards man in his misery. Now, grace has to do with unworthiness. Mercy has to do with misery. There is in God the propensity to feel compassion and to show compassion towards those that are in misery. When God looks down on in this earth and he sees man in his misery and his pitifulness, when he sees people on the broad road to destruction, there is in the heart of God this propensity to show compassion. You know, we're told in the book of Ezekiel 2 times, "As I live, saith the Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked." In Luke 15, the Bible says there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Judgment is called God's strange work. And so mercy is an attribute. It's a quality of God. It's a pity of God towards the misery that we have placed ourselves in by sin. When God looks down and he sees the sheep out lost on the hilltops, there's pity. When he sees the boy in the poor country in the hog pen, there's pity. The father is looking down the road. But how can God extend mercy in light of the truth? The truth is, in Genesis 3, that men fear God, not in a good sense. They dislike God, and they blame God. The truth is, in Exodus 20, that we broke every one of God's 10 commandments. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Not only have we not put no other gods before Him, we put everything there is before God. We've desecrated His day. We've not hallowed His name. We've not honored our parents. We've not loved our neighbor as ourselves. And when God describes the human race, listen to how He does it. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher." When Jesus wanted the stone rolled back from the grave of Lazarus, his sister said, "He's been dead 4 days. That would be unpleasant." God looks down and he says, "You know what the mouth of man is? It's an open sepulcher." You say, what does that mean? Turn on the TV and you'll find out pretty quick what that means. "Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit." I hear about some people who say, "How do you know they're lying?" With their mouths open. "With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Now, God is a God of mercy. But what do you do with the truth? Another attribute of God is righteousness. Righteousness is God's just nature. It is the nature of God to judge sin. God is a God of law. All law has penalty. The wages of sin is death. God is a righteous God. But God is also a peace-loving God. Before sin entered the world, there was nothing but peace in the heart of God. But how can God be righteous and be at peace with sinners? How can this tension be relieved? How can this disharmony be removed? How can God be manifest for all that He is and yet be at rest? How can mercy be shown to those of whom the truth is so sad? How can righteousness be carried out and God be at peace? You know, I hear people say, I don't see how God can send people to hell. The key words there is, I don't see. People say, I don't understand. The key word there, I don't understand. Let me tell you this. It is no problem for God to send people to hell. The problem is sending people to heaven. The easiest thing in the world, all God would have had to do to, I mean, God has no, does God have a problem sending the devil to hell? God have a problem sending the fallen angels to hell, the demons to hell? Why, no? That's no problem at all. All a man is an incarnate demon. But harmony was restored by Christ. Christ restored the harmony between man and nature. The Scripture says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Won't that be wonderful when the curse is lifted and the thorns are taken off the rose bushes? Christ takes away the disharmony between man and himself. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Jesus Christ will do away with the disharmony between man and man. It says, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, neither shall they learn war anymore. And then, Jesus Christ has dealt with the disharmony between man and God. The Bible says, having made peace through the blood of His cross. All because, more basically, harmony has been restored to the mind of God. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Back in, I believe it was the 6th century, there was an old preacher called Bede. He was the first man to ever translate any of the Bible into English. We don't have that, but he translated the Bible into the Gospel of John. He was known as the Venerable Bede. He took this Psalm 85:10 and he made a little parable out of it. Now, I'm going to give him credit, but I'm going to change his parable a little bit because even though he was the Venerable Bede, he wasn't as sound as I am. But here's the story. There was a great king. He was the greatest of all kings. And he had a son. The most wonderful son that you could have. He also had a servant named Adam. He had 4 daughters. Mercy and truth, righteousness, nicknamed justice, and peace. Well, this great king decided that he would test his servant. And so he gave him a very simple command and made very plain what the penalty for not carrying out that command would be. He no sooner gave it than the servant broke the command. High-handedly broke the command, blamed the king, said it was his fault, was totally insolent. And the king threw him in jail and let out that he was going to judge him. Well, Mercy came in, the first daughter. She said, Father, I hear that the servant's in jail and you're going to judge him. And she said, you can't do that. How can I be your daughter if you treat the servant in this way? Well, she's crying and weeping and telling the father that she won't be able to be his daughter if he's going to behave like that. And truth comes in and says, what's all this rumpus about? And the father says, Mercy, your sister wants me to have mercy on the servant. And truth becomes indignant and said, well, He sinned against a plain command, high-handedly. How could you do worse than he's done? And she looks to the father and says, how can you have me, truth, as your daughter if you don't carry out justice? Well, righteousness, who is nicknamed justice, hears all the rumpus, and she came in and she said, what's going on? And truth said, can you believe it? Our sister Mercy wants father to overlook the heinous behavior of the servant. And righteousness, nicknamed justice, became indignant. She said, well, father, how can you have me as your daughter when you said the wages of sin is death? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. How can you have me as your daughter if you don't carry out justice? Well, peace got so tired of the bickering that she left home. Unbeknown to all of them, the father and the son had an accord that should the servant fail, that the son would pay the penalty for the servant. And that's what happened. Well, Mercy was happy because mercy was shown. Truth was happy because even though mercy was shown, it wasn't shown at the expense of truth. The truth was fully told. Righteousness, nicknamed justice, was happy because the wages of sin were paid, even though not by the servant, but by the son. And when peace heard that everybody was getting along, she came back. And mercy and truth were met together. Righteousness and peace kissed each other. We think of mercy. Christ is the way. Christ is the way that you and I go to God. And yet, we didn't start the way. The way was started at the other end. You know, if we want to get somewhere, we have to chop down trees and we have to make a road. We didn't make a road to God. He made a road to us. Jesus Christ is the channel through which the mercy of God comes to us. He said, I am the way. You know, when Jacob was running from his brother to go to Padan Aram, he fell asleep, and you remember he saw a ladder reaching to God and the angels of God ascending and descending on that ladder. You say, what does that mean, Brother Ron? Well, you read John chapter 1 and you know. Because Jesus said, hereafter shall you see the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. You know how your prayers go up to heaven? Through Jesus Christ. You know how His blessings come down to you? Through Jesus Christ. He is the way. In the Old Testament, there was a great veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And when it was torn at the death of Jesus Christ, it wasn't torn from the bottom by man. It was torn at the top, right down the middle. And so mercy created a way. And yet mercy did not create a way for us to go to God contradictory to the truth. Jesus said, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. He said, it's expedient that I go away, that the Comforter come. And He said, when He has come, He'll convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. Did you ever stop to think that God does not save us apart from bringing us to see the truth about ourselves? People often say Christians are people that think they're better than other people. That is not true. Unsaved people are people that think they're better than other people. When Jesus wanted to picture a Christian, He said two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a publican, the other a Pharisee. The Pharisee, representing the lost man, stood and prayed thus with himself and said, Lord, I thank Thee, God, that I am not as other men. And he told what he did and what he hadn't done. But the Christian was the one that would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven, but smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know why he did that? Because the Spirit of God had come to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And so in Jesus Christ, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. You say, how can God be at peace with poor sinners? How can God be at peace with those that are so guilty? How can God be righteous and just and be at peace with us? The answer is in Romans 3, verse 25. Romans 3, verse 23. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Notice, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Now get this part. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Did you ever stop to think that for 4,000 years the devil was saying, Lord, how are you forgiving those people? For 4,000 years the devil was saying, how are righteousness and peace meeting together? How can you hear their prayers? How can you forgive them? 2,000 years on the cross, 2,000 years ago on the cross, God set forth Christ to be a propitiation. And He did it to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. In other words, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, God said to the devil, there's how I've been doing it for 4,000 years, on credit. And there's the payment. To declare His righteousness for the judgment of sins that are past, that He might be just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. And so mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me conclude by asking you this. Are you a Christian? Do you profess to be a Christian? If you are a Christian, you have a spiritual understanding of what this psalm is talking about. Let me show you what I mean. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. What about mercy? You say, Brother Ron, I understand mercy. I need mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I understand that. Do you feel the need of mercy tonight? And yet, in needing the mercy of God, have you told the truth about yourself? The publican said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Mercy and truth had met together. The thief on the cross, as the other thief mocked, he did something that felons don't usually do. He said, you know, we deserve what we're getting. Go to jail and see how many times you hear that. And he turned and said, Lord, remember me. Mercy and truth had met together. Righteousness and peace had kissed each other. Righteousness, God's just nature. Are you able to say tonight, you know, my sins have to be paid for? Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone into his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Can you say, I need a sin bearer? 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, that is God the Father, hath made him, that's God the Son, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Do you understand the justice of God, that you needed a sin bearer? Do you understand that by nature you're at war with God, and that the only way you can be at peace with God is being justified by faith? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Do you understand that? Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Can you say, I see it? I need mercy. But mercy, not at the expense of truth, but mercy where the truth has been fully told. I need The justice of God must be manifested and carried out. My sin must be paid for. But I can't pay for it. But righteousness and peace have kissed each other, and that Jesus Christ paid for my sins. And then let me close in Psalm 85 with this 11th verse. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Do you know that prophecy, and that is a prophecy, is fulfilled tonight just as the gospel was fulfilled in Christ. Truth shall spring out of the earth. You've been listening to truth tonight. God has placed the gospel in an earthen vessel, and truth has sprang out of the earth. And I'm happy to tell you that Jesus Christ, who is the righteousness of God, looks down from heaven. Amen. Just like the Father looked for the prodigal. Truth has sprung out of the earth. Righteousness looks down from heaven. You say, Brother Ron, I want to be saved. You've heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you that just as the father of the prodigal son was willing to save the prodigal, and he saw him a long time before the prodigal saw him, so God will save all that come to him through Jesus Christ. Amen. This night. May God bless you.